Mormon Discussions and its lineup of great podcasts is about helping Latter-day Saints like you tackle deeper, complex issues within Mormonism.
All financial support goes directly towards keeping these podcasts alive and supporting listeners like you.
To support the programs on this podcast, please consider becoming a premium subscriber
or making a donation at mormondiscussions.org. Again, that's Mormon Discussions, plural with an S on the end, .org.
Donate today and support programs like Mormon Discussion, Radio Free Mormon, Mormon Awakenings, The Mormon Wellness Project,
Mormon History Podcast,
Marriage on a Tightrope, and others.
If these programs benefit you
and you want to see these continue, please consider making an annual donation starting today.
All donations are tax exempt inside the United States and go towards keeping the podcast alive.
Mormon Discussions and its lineup of great programs.
Helping you navigate Mormonism one episode at a time.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Mormon History Podcast. This is your host, Skyler. Thank you for tuning in. I hope everybody is enjoying the warm weather, and hopefully everyone is not being sick and getting over sicknesses and things like that. It's been a rough last month, I think. So hopefully I won't have issues with that anymore. I'll become immune. If you remember back to the first episode, I discussed these letters that were written to Brigham Young about taking more wives, and it began with that one from that John Cable guy requesting the hand of Elizabeth Parks, who was 12 or 13. As I was reading more letters from that series, or at least from that year, I came across an interesting letter from a woman to Brigham Young. And so I wanted to find more about, you know, what was going on and if there were any other letters. And I came across a couple things that were pretty interesting with her story. And this isn't something that is so obscure in the sense that it hasn't been discovered. It's actually in a book that was written about Brigham Young, discusses parts of this story. But since I'm sure that a lot of listeners aren't necessarily reading every book that's out there, this might be new to you, as it was to me. And so I'm not sure how long this podcast episode will go for, but I want to discuss kind of this interesting story about Lydia Farnsworth. And I'm not going to go so much into detail as I did on the first podcast episode, but this is more of the situation being interesting. So if you think about polygamy or plural marriage or celestial marriage, inside of Mormonism, even today, we still have this aspect that a man can be sealed to multiple women. If you and your husband get a divorce, he can remarry another woman in the temple, and he doesn't have to cancel his first sealing. If you die, he can get married or sealed in the temple to another woman, and he doesn't have to cancel the first one. However, as a woman, if your husband divorces you, you cannot get sealed unless you cancel your first sealing. If your husband dies, you cannot get sealed without canceling your first sealing, which has to be approved by the first presidency. And so as much as we like to say that we don't practice polygamy, in a sense, we do, at least in a hereafter, afterlife, eternally, there is still polygamy. Now, it might not be presented in the sense as being necessary for access to the celestial kingdom as it once was touted, but we can't say that it doesn't exist because clearly it does. And a lot of women are like, well, why is that fair? Why is it that a man can be sealed to multiple wives, but a wife can only be sealed to one man? Now, maybe the short-term argument is that a man can multiply and replenish the earth more with multiple women than a woman could with one, with multiple men. But is that a hard set line, or are there exceptions? And that's where this story comes into play. And the reason it's interesting to me anyways is there a double standard within the church with everything? Because it seems like this would be a hard, you know, hard cut line of either it's acceptable or not acceptable, but can you as a prophet veto it and allow a woman to be sealed to more than one man who are living? All right, so going back to these letters, this is the letter that I first read from Lydia Farnsworth to Brigham Young. And this is January 20th, 1857. Brother Brigham, you have hitherto been made acquainted with the fact of my conviction that I belong to you. It has been 2 years since my interview with you. I wish a word of advice or consolation from you. I am not over anxious as to time, but would be pleased to know that should it so happen that we should not again see each other, whether it would be agreeable to you for me to be sealed to you for eternity. Any advice you may deem wisdom to give will be thankfully received and cheerfully lived up to. Truly yours, Lydia Farnsworth. Now, when I first read that, I was like, wow, here's a woman who, you know, really wants to be married to Brigham Young, or at least sealed to Brigham Young, and even says, like, hey, I've told you, you're, like, I'm yours. You hopefully are mine, but I am yours. And I wondered how Brigham Young would take that. Like, would he be flattered? Would he be like, all right, yeah, more women, bring it on? Or would he be, you know, kind of an a-hole? But I also wanted to know, well, is she single? Is she married? What's her story? So the little bit that I found out, at least to this point, was that she was married at this point, but not sealed to her husband. And so I was like, okay, well, let's see if we can find out what Brigham Young's response is and whether or not he's flattered or whether or not he's an a-hole. Well, it turns out he was kind of an a-hole. So here is his response to Lydia Farnsworth. So Brigham Young replied the following, and it may not have every word correct because it's kind of hard to read this copy, but you'll get the gist. It says the following. To your note of the 26th of something, I reply, it is not wisdom that you should trouble yourself in the least about being sealed to me. Were I wish to have any woman sealed to me, I shall reveal the fact. I am not guided by revelation coming through any woman. And then it just closes with some, you know, sincerely type of a thing, Brigham Young. So it sounds like 2 years before that, around 1855, she probably bugged him about it. Then she wrote that letter 2 years later in 1857 saying, hey, I need to be yours. And then his reply was, look, you don't need to trouble yourself with who I get sealed to. And you know what? I am not going to take any revelation from any woman. So if I want to marry you, I'll marry you. If not, I'm not going to. But by you indicating that it's like some divine revelation that we'd be together, not happening. So it's kind of interesting because it's not like she was some young spring chicken. She was, you know, 60 years old in 1857. And she's been married to Elijah since 1832, who is also 60 years old at this time. And she even has, like, young children. So in 1857, she had 4 or 5 kids under the age of 11. And she ends up being sealed to Elijah that same year in 1857. And now Elijah, he's going to die in 1896, and they are going to remain married. But here's the interesting thing. In 1870, Lydia and Brigham Young get married. Well, get sealed. And so part of the interesting thing is, well, why did he have this change of mind when they're literally 80 years old? And why is it that she is sealed to her first husband in 1857 and also sealed to Brigham Young in 1870? Her first husband's still alive. She still lives with him. And now she's sealed to two living men. Now, I know that this is, you know, Brigham Young was sealed to a few women who were already married, but I don't know the percentage or how many of them were actually sealed and living still with the first husband. And so that's where I talk about that double standard. It's the same double standard that we see with things like, you know, the MTC president, Bishop, who was not excommunicated for things that he did, but yet other people are excommunicated left and right for even smaller things that, again, the church doesn't necessarily have proof of, but they have enough evidence of either someone admitting to it or someone else saying that they did it to excommunicate them. And I see this a lot in the church history as well as the church now with this double standard of this person gets off with a, you know, don't do it again, slap on the wrist, and this person loses their membership over it. And so what is the double standard with Brigham Young being able to be sealed to a woman who is already sealed to a living husband, but now women can't do that? Is it because he's the prophet? Is it because he's the, you know, the he's got the veto power? And could President Nelson do the same thing today? Can somebody else do that? I guess we'll never know, because I'm sure that they would keep it on the hush-hush if anyone ever did want to do that. But this is just another interesting story and something that you find out by reading church history and by reading, you know, the Brigham Young files and these letters and then trying to find more information about it. This is the kind of stuff that really interests me. And it's not something, you know, this episode isn't, you know, digging a hole for the church or trying to prove the church is not true or any of that. This is just an interesting story. And how you can see that there is double standards here and there with certain things. But mostly it's just this interesting story of this dynamic of this woman who felt so inspired to be sealed to Brigham Young and his kind of a-hole response of, I don't take revelation from any woman. But then eventually he, I don't know, does he give in or does he finally receive that revelation? Guess we'll never know. But anyways, I hope you enjoyed this short episode. It's good to release something. And I appreciate people reaching out and saying hi and telling me their story and saying some things that they would be interested in hearing about. It really helps to, you know, figure out where to go next with these episodes. So thank you so much for your time. Your time is valuable, and I appreciate you spending a moment listening to me talking to this microphone.